Hello, it's Owen Shehan here from Off The Ball, and the FIFA World Cup 2026 is here. And let's be honest, the matchday version of ourselves can look a little committed. Jerseys, face paint, scarves and questionable weather, whatever you have, maybe even a full costume if your team makes a run, you can look a little worse for wear come the end of it all. But the World Cup, it's not just about the football. It's the atmosphere, it's the nights in the pub, it is the watch parties with your mates, and maybe even meeting someone new. That is where Lynx comes in. As an official personal care sponsor of the FIFA World Cup 2026, Lynx's premium fragrances are here to help you smell your best, even in the middle of full matchday madness. Lynx, smell your best when you look your worst. Now, enjoy your podcast.
Off The Ball, GAA.
Look, I suppose I was just out trying to commit it to the ball. I think he thought he was going to pull in it. Clearly, obviously, tripped him. I think he didn't have possession of the ball. I think that's what Thomas Hall said to me. It was a yellow card, so I don't really know the rule, to be honest, but I was lucky for it.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join. World Cup Daily on Off The Ball with Lynx, a proud sponsor of the FIFA World Cup 2026.
Hello and welcome to Thursday's World Cup Daily. I'm Phil Egan. Coming up today, the FAI motion in favour of playing the Israel games passes. Bohemians and Derry City are both in European action, and the World Cup is back with France up against Morocco in the first of the quarterfinals. But first, the FAI motion in favour of going ahead with the Nations League games against Israel was passed at an EGM last night at the Aviva Stadium. The delegates voted on whether to endorse the board's decision to fulfil the games, which will take place in September and October. The motion passed by 75 votes to 32 with 3 abstentions, so a majority 68%. Hamer Halgrimson's side are due to face Israel in Hungary on the 27th of September for the away tie before the so-called home game on the 4th of October, which will take place in Serbia. In a statement afterwards, the board of the FAI thanked members of its General Assembly for endorsing its responsibility to fulfil its obligations in relation to UEFA fixtures. Irish Sport for Palestine, the group behind the Stop the Game campaign, called the decision a disappointing indictment of the FAI that doesn't reflect the will of the Irish public or professional players. On this morning's Off The Ball breakfast, our reporter Ben Symes joined Ger Gilroy and Donny Smith and explained the tricky situation the FAI are in.
I think you'd love to have a football association that was emboldened to go and take on the world with this. I guess the other context for this is that the FAI are so frequently in the news because they're called before a public accounts committee who, for sport, treat them really badly and use them as punching bags so that they can get on local radio and go, oh, look at our lad. He was giving it to the big one, to the lads up in Dublin and the FAI. And so, I mean, that's the bit where they don't feel like they have government support for the sport in the country. And I think that's the bit that weakens their ability to go and take those cases and fight this all the way to the Court of Arbitration for Sport, which I think they would have public support if they were to do. And for me, that's the bit that isn't black and white. You know, I would love them to be brave here, but I do accept that they don't have strong government support. We've got a government who have welched and been mealy-mouthed about, yeah, well, I'm not going to go to the game. The game, it should go ahead. It's not really a matter for us, although they're telling the FAI what to do every second day that they come into them.
Yeah, look, and I say this as a journalist who, you know, we love to stick the boot in on the FAI quite a lot ourselves, but like, they are the easiest punching bag in the country, and there's so many financial problems and a lot more problems at the FAI than that throughout the years that we could get into for a lot of hours here this morning. But, you know, the first question of the embargo section yesterday, which was put to the FAI, was, can you give us a breakdown of the financial implications, is the 5.5 million base figure that you sent to your members? And the response from Paul Cook was, no, we can't. And I think that is exactly where the FAI come into, you know, them being the easiest punching bag in the world, that falls into it. And kind of a...
Did he cite commercial sensitivities around that?
Yeah, they said it's commercial sensitivity and they can't release the figures. Again, this kind of falls into, if you were just able to tell the public, this is exactly what we're facing if we don't play these games. And I think that's where the real issue lies for people and member delegates to vote against it.
Two League of Ireland clubs are in European action this evening. with Bohemians and Derry City looking to go on a European run. Derry have a tough task against CSKA Sofia. It's away from home for the first leg of their Europa League first round qualifier. The Bulgarian side finished fourth in their domestic league last season. Former Inter midfielder Stefano Sensi is part of the squad, as is Ivory Coast international Jean-Philippe Gabaman, once of Everton. Kickoff in Bulgaria is 7 o'clock. Bohemians take on St. Joseph's of Gibraltar in the first qualifying round of the Conference League. Bohs are back in Europe for the first time since 2021, when they beat Starnjan and Dudelange before they were ultimately beaten by Pauk. Speaking to Bohs' in-house media channel, boss Alan Reynolds says the players will need a boisterous home crowd behind them.
Nah, come here. I haven't really thought of that one, you know, just happy to get playing and, you know, deal with the first leg. And look, as I'd say, we need to really need the crowd rocking tomorrow night, you know, European adventure starts and we'll need them. But we're excited to be playing in our home ground first.
Kick-off at Dalymount Park is 6 o'clock. Ireland boss Carlo Ward joined Will O'Callaghan on the football show last night. And with Katie McCabe's move to Chelsea now confirmed, Ward says it was perhaps one of the best kept secrets.
It was perhaps not the best kept secret in world football that she was eventually going to get her move to Chelsea.
I mean, I think it was very well kept for a long time that we all knew. Look, me and Katie spoken about it for the last 6 months and she leant on me a little bit with, you know, sort of what her thoughts were. And look, that's good because we have a good relationship. But I think ultimately with Katie, she's one of the best left backs, if not the best left back in world football. So she had plenty of offers. She had lots of top clubs in England and abroad, you know, wanting her signature. And I think that for Katie, it was about making the right move somewhere where they really valued her. And Sonia showed that. So I think they'll be a great fit.
I think so too. I saw her interview when she signed for Chelsea and she was saying she's got like at least 3 or 4 really good seasons in front of her. Chelsea was maybe an option a few years ago. It didn't quite happen. And now here she is. Maybe that change of scenery when you've been at somewhere for more than a decade as well might actually benefit her.
Yeah, and I think, look, you only have to look at sort of the levels that she's played at this season. And she's known for a long time that, you know, they potentially didn't... they had other ideas, would I say. And did that change anything in her? No, I thought she was outstanding, you know. And when somebody can play and compete at that level, I'll go back to it. People say I'm biased. I spoke about Katie pre-taking the Ireland job and, you know, I used to commentate on TNT in the Champions League and I did a lot of Arsenal games and I used to talk about it then. She's up there, you know, find me a better left back because I don't think there is one.
We've debated a long time what's her best position. There left were times back. When she was used a bit further in field, sometimes she's a left-sided attacker. Now you've got Emily who's done a really good job there and Katie can play a little bit deeper. Do you feel that that's maybe her best position where there's a bit of field in front of her and she plays a bit closer to her club position?
Yeah, left wing back, left back. I think she's just got so much quality, you know. Yeah. She can defend, she can go 1v1, both with and without the ball. Honestly, I think she's got it all. And the way she leads, you know, she drives standards. She really does. And it's really interesting because Katie on a pitch, she'll drive, she'll bring everyone together, she'll lead in a way, you know. She's essentially, you know, when she walks onto the pitch, she's my, you know, she's my captain, she's the leader on the grass. She's ultimately... She steps on that white line, she's the manager of that team.
Yeah.
And you have to really, really deliver, and she does. For me, she's got it all, and I have no doubt one day she'll probably be sat in my chair.
That's available to listen back to now in full in your OTB football podcast feed for free.
Hello, it's Owen Chahan here from Off The Ball, and the FIFA World Cup 2026 is here. And let's be honest, the matchday version of ourselves can look a little committed. Jerseys, face paint, scarves and questionable weather, whatever you have, maybe even a full costume if your team makes a run, you can look a little worse for wear come the end of it all. But the World Cup, it's not just about the football. It's the atmosphere, it's the nights in the pub, it is the watch parties with your mates and maybe even meeting someone new. That is where Lynx comes in. As an official personal care sponsor of the FIFA World Cup 2026, Lynx's premium fragrances are here to help you smell your best, even in the middle of full matchday madness. Lynx, smell your best when you look your worst. Now, enjoy your podcast.
World Cup Daily and Off The Ball is brought to you by Lynx, a proud sponsor of the FIFA World Cup 2026. smell your best when you look your worst. France and Morocco meet in Boston tonight in the first of the World Cup quarterfinals. France had to keep their heads against Paraguay in their last 16 clash, which finished 1-0 to the French. France have scored 13 goals in this tournament so far and can pick from the likes of Kylian Mbappe, Ousmane Dembele, Michael Olise, Bradley Barcola and Désiré Doué. Didier Deschamps, the 1998 winning captain, will manage his 25th World Cup game tonight, which will equal Helmut Schön's long-standing record. Morocco have lost 4 of their 6 meetings with France, have never beaten them. The only competitive match between the two was at the semi-final stage of the World Cup in Qatar 4 years ago, a game France won 2-0. Tonight's game is in Boston and it kicks off at 9 o'clock. On the football show last night, Louisa Thomas, writer for The New Yorker, spoke to Will about the extortionate ticket prices at this year's tournament.
I see people outside games saying they've mortgaged their house to go to the USA to watch the World Cup. I was thinking this shouldn't
be awful.
Yeah.
It's awful. That should not happen, right? I mean, it's, and there's no reason really that it has to, because, you know, FIFA is making more money than God, you know, on any kind of given game, and not to mention the TV deals and the, you know, I think that that's, it's a pretty, you know, this is their sort of Article 27. They sort of have kind of claimed the right to do whatever they want. It's the, you know, on the ticket front too, and the general money making front. You know, I think it's pretty much one of the things is that they're taking advantage in some ways. They're sort of exploiting that goodwill and that people's desire to be there and to be part of it. And they know that that is a priceless feeling. And so people are willing to sort of mortgage their house because they want to live with that memory for the rest of their lives. But they, you know, I wish they didn't have to.
Norway captain Martin Odegaard thinks Premier League experience in their squad will help them in Saturday's quarterfinal against England. The Arsenal midfielders joined by players including Manchester City striker Erling Haaland, Brentford defender Christopher Ayer, Fulham midfielder Sander Berge and Crystal Palace striker Jorgen Strand Larsen. Odegaard thinks they can disrupt England in Miami.
I think we've showed the whole world that we're a good team. And as I said, in football, anything is possible. And even though we're the underdogs again, let's see what happens. And let's prepare well and let's keep enjoying our football and this moment together. So let's see.
England winger Morgan Rogers says the battle between two of the best strikers in the world adds another element to Saturday's game. Captain Harry Kane has 6 goals at the tournament and is 1 behind Erling Haaland. They've been 2 of the standout players in the US, and Rodgers admits it's an intriguing prospect to have them on the same pitch.
The Harry Kane-Haaland debate, yeah, will live on, I think. Completely different strikers, but both, they're the two for me at the top of their game, and in this tournament have been 2 of the best players at this tournament. And yeah, it's a spectacle, I suppose, for the fans, that's going to be a good one, and to see who comes out on top.
Rodgers added Haaland's supply line has to be cut off in Miami.
Has anyone ever stopped Erling Haaland? I'm not sure they have, but we're going to try. You're going to have to try, I think. He's such an unbelievable player. The things he does, the numbers he puts up, you're just in awe of how good he is and the level he's at. We're going to have to maybe try and stop how they play.
And it's believed Newcastle captain Bruno Guimarães has told the club he wants to leave and join Arsenal. The Brazilian midfielder has 2 years left on his contract at St James's Park and they're not interested in selling him. Newcastle have already lost Anthony Gordon and Sandro Tonali this summer. That's about all we have time for in today's World Cup Daily. I'm Phil Egan and I'll be back on more tomorrow.
World Cup Daily on Off the Ball with Lynx, a proud sponsor of the FIFA World Cup 2026.
To unlock much more from the OTB football feed, sign up at offtheball.com/join now.